Namaskar Shanti. Firstly, just a few observations about Baba Smriti's generally this season. And it's been very noticeable. And yes, it was an external situation of a fall that made the doctor say no more than 2 hours of sitting. But Baba Smriti's have been so short. And so the timetable of Madhuban continues as usual, 4 o'clock, and the right time for Murli and Bhog and everything. So this year has been a dramatic shift. And every time there's been a shift, and I don't need to list all the shifts that we've seen since 1969, but there's been major, major, major shifts all along the way. And of course, this year, again, a shift. Nobody except just a handful on the stage. And so, many different things about the season. And it makes me more aware of time. But also the fact that the ocean has explained everything so clearly that it's all there. And now Baba just wants to see us do it. And so Baba doesn't need to keep explaining again and again and again, which Baba has been, and we're revising all of that, but definitely a very major shift. And then specifically yesterday, again, just a few thoughts. How much God loves His children and how much God appreciates everything that the children do, or everything that the children are going through. And so if I want to be Bab Saman, a very big lesson, appreciation and love. Baba appreciating the people who have slept in the tents, Baba appreciating the people who organized the tents, everything, everything, everything. Just A to Z, appreciative of absolutely everyone and everything. The different zones, the different wings, the double foreigners, and sometimes human beings try to cut him short, but he does what he needs to do, and he fulfills whatever his own inspiration and thought is. And so the ocean of love come to express his love and share his love and praise the children. How many times did Baba say yesterday, "Wah, my children, wah, wah, my children, wah," many, many times. And so Baba sharing of himself through that love, but also reminding us that this is how we have to be also, appreciative of each and everyone and every situation, and also very loving within all of that. And then just going through the Murli, and Baba's technique always is that in the first part of the Murli, Baba is reminding us of who we are, and in that understanding of our own identity is raising our intoxication and consciousness to absolutely a high stage. And so even if there were things that were challenging before Baba started to speak, or even in fact before, the silence that Baba brings when Baba comes, and Baba reaching absolutely every corner of the hall, so that everybody is very content and full. And then Baba reminding us that we're the ones who are complete, full of all treasures. And we're used to hearing Baba talk about treasures, and yet still there was something a little bit different in the way Baba expressed it. And if you're asked what are the 4 treasures, you'll roll off 10 treasures, not just 4 treasures. But yet still, a little bit of a difference in the way Baba expressed it. Yes, the treasure of knowledge, but the definition that Baba gave of that, knowledge that enables you to be free from the bondages in which you are trapped, free from peacelessness and sorrow. And when Baba puts it in that way, it's a very powerful mirror. And I ask myself the question, what are the things that still trap me? Now it's not so much the question of other people, but more all the things inside. Habits, tendencies, nature. We're in bondage to ourselves. And so Baba's reminding us that the purpose of jnana is to enable you to see what it is that ties you down and become free. And then, to what extent have I taken enough jnana from Baba? Not how many muralis I've heard, but how much have I absorbed, so that then I don't allow any trace of peacelessness or sorrow to come to me. And of course, Baba talked a lot about happiness, and we'll touch on that a bit later. But just this question again for the self. Is there a situation, or are there people who still make me lose my peace? They can't take my peace, but they're triggering something within me. And the reaction that I have is that after a little while, maybe a moment, maybe a few moments, maybe a few minutes, but I'm not so content, I'm not so peaceful. What happened? So somebody said something, somebody did something. Well, that's their story, their business. But what must I do? Baba's given me enough jnana to use jnana to keep myself liberated. Baba used the word mukt, liberated from sorrow and peacelessness. And so then you begin to see that jnana is something that's very, very deep, and the results of it are actually visible. Because if somebody's peaceless, you soon get to know. If somebody's lost their happiness, again, you see it. It's very visible. And so jnana may be deep inside me, and it's nothing about service. Baba didn't touch on service at all in that first part. Just me and what's going on inside myself. In fact, I found that the murali again and again was drawing us back in, back in. There's some Agarbatti's lit somewhere. If they could be put out, please. If the incense sticks could be extinguished, thank you. Yes, I'm just seeing them. Culprits. Thank you. And so, just within that first treasure, but the impact of that treasure, what's the effect of that treasure? And then secondly, yoga, and yes, we are aware that through yoga I receive powers. And then thirdly, dharana, and yes, we are aware that dharana means the divine virtues, so that's pretty clear. But the fourth treasure, again, it wasn't what I was expecting Baba to say, but the treasure of the time of the confluence age. That period of time in which you meet the father, the teacher, the guru, the only opportunity to meet Baba, and then secondly, the opportunity to claim your inheritance for 21 births, and the third aspect of the treasure of the confluence age. Very lovely, Baba reminding us of that. The family. So the treasure of the confluence age, and Baba spoke about this fourth aspect, the treasure of the confluence age. And yes, Baba, and yes, the 21 birds, but I was fascinated by it, the way in which Baba described the beautiful family, the family from which you're detached and yet very loving, and you're only ever going to be able to experience. Baba used the word Ishwariya Sneh. We've had discussions about how to translate the difference between Sneh and Pyar. Pyar, the love, and then yes, the Sneh, the affection, the very deep connection. And so a connection that we're only aware of in Sangam Yuga. Yes, we know that we'll be together in the Golden Age, but how often will we meet each other there? Here, at least we meet each other in the unlimited family once a year. Maybe there'll be a special celebration where everyone will come together. Who knows? But certainly we won't remember that we're the souls who've been together through the whole cycle. And now that awareness, that recognition, and so a very deep spiritual bond that links us together. And I want to connect it with something that was just a one-liner, but Dadi Janki, I don't know what she said to Baba, but we were seeing the scene of love. But Baba's response then was that, well, you're managing to do so much, because she's been doing Amrit Vela, Murali, the whole thing, and then non-stop through the day, so you're doing everything. And then Baba's talking to Dadi Janki, but she's remembering Dadi Gulzar, because she knows that Dadi Gulzar is missing this whole scene. And so she's telling Baba that Dadi Gulzar is so lovely. And Baba says, yes, it's a very good friendship. And at the moment, what's happening is that every day, sometimes twice a day, but at least once a day, they both get together and they have a spiritual exchange, a sharing of what they've taken from Baba's Smriti, from the things that are going on around, the news that has come to each one of them. And so it's a very, very beautiful close connection. I was again thinking about it in Lokic terms, that when there's the head of the organization and there's a second in command, how sweet, how close is their relationship? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But certainly in this case, really such a very beautiful, deep connection. And of course, when Dadi Kumarka was in Sakar, then again, very close, loving connection with that soul too. When Didi was around, Didi Manmohini, again. So Dadi sometimes emphasizes the role of spiritual friendship. And she then demonstrates it. Not just one individual, but many, many, many spiritual friends. And spiritual friends means that what you exchange is deeply spiritual, but also that it brings both of you closer to Baba. After you've spent 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes with somebody, do you feel that you've come closer to Baba and they've come closer to Baba also? And so the sign of spiritual friendship, and this word that Baba used, Ishwariya Sneh, that's a very beautiful treasure of the confluence age. So every sentence that Baba was speaking, it was very beautiful, and something else, something else, something else. And of course, Baba wanted to acknowledge the amazing tolerance power of these souls who have been sleeping in tents. Muniben was telling me that the number she had allocated for this particular zone, and it's a very big zone. If you look at the map of India, you'll see that Bengal, Bihar, Assam, Orissa, all around that area, and then all the way down to Tamil Nadu, it's a huge stretch of geography. And so, but so many thousands, 18,000 had come just from that zone. And I think their allocation had been 14 or 15,000, something like that. No, much less, much less. But every area of that zone, every state of that zone had brought a few thousand extra, a few thousand extra, because it's their turn, and so it's okay. But of course, then it meant that all the logistics with accommodation went out of the window. I'll share a couple of things that I heard from Muni Ben, because when you see the tents and you hear Baba's Murali, you know that, yes, it's been a very special effort, but you don't always know what goes on behind the scene. And what was happening was that the numbers kept coming in, and so we knew that it was going to be 25,000 people coming from outside. And add on another 1,000, and then of course it's 3,000-4,000 from upstairs and here and there, Gujarat who comes, so it was a gathering of 30,000. But as the numbers were coming in, what Muni Ben did was to go around all the different rooms in the complexes, and she managed to get 800 extra beds squeezed in. And so wherever there was a sitting area, like certain places in Manmohini, etc., forget it. Beds are more important than sitting and having coffee. And so she managed to squeeze in 800 extra beds. And at every step, she's remembering Dadi Prakash Muni. And she's telling me that Dadi Prakash Muni had told her, this must have been the figures by the end, but the training began in Pandav Bhavan and on and on and on. But she said, Dadi had told me keep 3,000 extra beddings so that in any situation you never have to say no to people. And souls have come from far away, at least we can keep them warm and give them some comfort and space. And so with these extra beds, where do they get these extra beds from? India's got a very good system. They've got these four pillars, and then you've got these ropes that you tie, and there you go, you've got a bed. And then you've got the little mattress, and then she's got the extra bedding. And so there were 800 extra beds. As the bed was being made, it was being put in the various places, and the bedding was being allocated, and then of course finally there had to be tents also. But very beautiful to see how the machinery that Baba started in Sakhar was then continued by Didi and Dadi, and now those who've lived with Didi and Dadi continue the same thing again. But again, a very powerful reminder for what happens at our centers. We get notification of 5 guests and we're in a panic. Or in a Lokik home, you get 2-3 extra people and you wonder, how's it going to be possible? And here Baba has made everyone have such a big heart. I felt as if today's Murali of the big heart was very much connected with yesterday's situation. And so Baba's so appreciative of the people who've been in the tents, but also the people who've made all the arrangements. It was very lovely that one brother came, but then they brought up the other brothers also who had been involved in the accommodation story. It was just one brother who came in front of Baba, but then quickly the other two were also called, so it was acknowledgement for all of them. But the other very big lesson that I take from all the things that Baba spoke about with that particular group, Baba said, because of your tolerance, Baba is giving you extra love. You're worthy of extra love. And then Baba said, Baba's giving you a prize for your tolerance. And then the other thing Baba said, because of your tolerance, you were able to stay happy. And because you've maintained your record of happiness, Baba's again giving you special certificate for that. Your record of maintaining happiness. And so, the question for myself, when things are comfortable and things are the way I want, I can stay happy, no problem. But when things are not as I would like them to be, when today's Murali, again, very much connected. Today Baba said, at times you'll get vegetables, sometimes you won't. At times there'll be no milk available, and substitute vegetables and milk for whatever it is you're using at the moment, and it's not available. Is it going to stir you? Is it going to shake you? Is it going to make you lose your yoga? Is it going to make you lose your happiness? Or are you going to be able to keep smiling through all of that and say, I'm fine, it's okay? And so the tolerance capacity where things are physically uncomfortable, you don't have the facilities that you're normally accustomed to, but yet you keep smiling and you're okay. And today it's a situation of a few hundred people for a few days. But what happens to me if things are challenging for a long period of time? Because situations are going to arise for sure, whether it's a day, a few days, a few weeks, a few months. And a place like New York, and they have everything, don't they? And yet one storm hits New York and the electricity is gone, the heating's gone, and it's midwinter and you're cold and you can't do anything, you can't cook your food, you can't heat your food. That's happened as a reality. Now, is there any other place that's going to remain safe? I doubt it. And so my tolerance capacity. So often we use the word tolerance just in terms of having to tolerate other people. But actually, once you begin to see their specialities, once you focus your vision on their goodness, it's fine. You can manage. And you know that all the gyan that Baba's given, the five fingers are different, they all have different talents and skills, it's important that we work together, it's okay. But when you have to tolerate cold, heat, no food, what's going to happen to my yoga? Is my yoga so strong? Have I taken so much power today from Baba that I have within myself the power of tolerance, and I can deal with any of these situations that may come my way? And one is yoga, but the other is love. I'll tell you a story. It's revision of the Murali in a circular way, not straight. There's this 11-year-old boy, and this is during Sakar Baba's days, real story, I know the whole family, and that person's still very much part of the yagya. So this 11-year-old boy with his mother and brothers, they've all come to Madhuban, must have been around not even the late 60s, the early 60s, something like that. Some of you may know when the Cambodia War started, but it was at that time, the early 60s maybe. And he's made a promise to Baba, this 11-year-old child, I'm going to be vegetarian, just out of love. And Baba says to the child, child, you're enjoying the food, you love the ice cream, you enjoy everything here. And Baba would spoil everyone, his love. And the child said, loving it, yes, it's great. So Baba said, will you stay a vegetarian forever? Yes, Baba, no trouble, I'll do that. And by the time his family had business in Cambodia. And the parents left and left the young boys, by then he was 14, 15, with his elder brothers, two elder brothers, looking after this department store that they have. And then there came a point where the fighting was so intense that the boys had to leave. And of course it was risk of life, death, and they could have been shot any moment anyone saw them. So they left all their property and just went. And they had to travel through jungles, very difficult terrain. If they were to go through the normal roads, they'd be shot. And so they went through the jungles, and somehow, instinct, God, whatever it was, but they managed for around 10, 11 days, something like that. And the other boys would pick up non-vegetarian things to eat. And this little boy refused, by then he was a teenager, but he refused to eat anything. Sometimes the villagers would feed them, sometimes they just pick up other stuff. But this boy, just out of love for Baba, refused to eat anything else except certain leaves that he knew were okay. That's it. And they managed to get to the border, get to safety, and tell the tale. And the other boys would say that, well, it was this one's love for God that kept all of us safe and brought us to safety. And so, as I say, that whole family is still very much part of the yagya. But the capacity for tolerance of the human being, no water, no food, and you're walking, you're not just sitting meditating, but you're walking over rough terrain. And it's a state of tension and anxiety and fear all around you. So the power of God's love is able to help you do things that are quite extraordinary. So, yes, yoga power, but love is yoga. When you're remembering the one who you've made a promise to, and Baba's giving you that power, so Baba's praising them, but I'm asking the question of myself. Again, I'm seeing that Baba's telling us there's going to be tough times ahead. How much tolerance have you developed? And then, I loved the definition that Baba gave of intense effort maker. And I have to admit, if I just heard the Murali, there would be a few things that would be in my mind. But having had the opportunity of reading the Hindi Murali, then things spring at you more powerfully. And I know that the English Murali doesn't come till the next day, not even tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow. And so you'll have to wait a little while. But when you get the Murali in your hands, pick out some of these definitions that Baba's given. And the definition that Baba's given for intense effort maker, because we've often had classes on this subject, discussions on this subject, and of course everybody will share from their experience. But Baba's definition yesterday was, when you can be content with yourself in all four subjects. Again, no titles, no certificates from anyone else, but can I be content that yes, my understanding of jnana is giving me liberation from sorrow. My connection with God is such that I can connect and feel Baba's presence and feel Baba's love. My dharana is, yes, I'm working on it, but it's doing fine, going in the right track. And so, and seva, service. Whatever service it is, I have an opportunity to do. And Baba's service ideas in the Murali were very beautiful. But whatever service it is I am engaged in, I'm content with that. And if I'm not, then that's where I need to give more intention and make intense effort also. But a very beautiful definition of intense effort in a very, very sweet and simple way. And then the main subject that Baba was focusing on, happiness. You're God's children, God has given you everything, you have all these treasures, and if you're not happy, what's wrong? And if you're happy sometimes, that's not good enough. Since the days that Baba used to have personal meetings, so you're going back to the 70s and 80s, when Baba would meet souls individually, Baba would tell them, Baba doesn't like this word sometimes. Baba wants you to say sada, constant, always. And now yesterday, Baba wasn't satisfied with putting up one hand, but Baba wanted us to do exercise and put up two hands. It's a very interesting way of keeping everyone engaged and alert for a stretch of time. Put up your hands now, put down your hands now, stand up now, sit down. And if you're doing all of this, you're not going to be very sleepy. But of course, yes, Baba's teaching us not only through drishti and through words, but through vibrations, but yet still making sure that all your senses are absolutely engaged and alert. And so Baba interacting with us in a very beautiful way. And even though on one level Baba is sitting so far away, when we can remember the time that Baba used to be sitting this close, but because Baba's interacting with us and engaging with us, I don't feel that there's the sense of distance. It is as if Baba is very close. And of course, physically, it's not such a big distance. But even sitting in London, when I see Baba on the screen, engaging us, making us reflect on what he's saying, and okay, in London, nobody wants to put up their hands when Baba's asking questions. And I know that in some centers, they say, well, we should respond to Baba, even though we're sitting far away. But in London, they're maybe a little bit shy. And so when Baba's asking questions and we're hearing it there, we don't put up our hands. But certainly in Madhuban, put up two hands now. Baba said that a few times this season. Not content with one, put up two. But the question, if I have the courage to say to Baba, yes, Baba's going to give me help. There's this little doubt in our minds, but maybe I won't be able to keep this promise. But Baba's using this as a method to remind me that if I have a determined thought and I have the courage to say yes to Baba, a lot of help will be coming my way, and it'll become easier and easier and easier. And think about habits and how easy it is to create habits. And so create the habit of being happy. And if I create the habit of being happy, then the role is ongoing. You know, once you've given it a push, then the wheels keep moving. There's a capacity and energy that's making them move anyway. So let me maintain the awareness of my promise to Baba, and not be bothered by whatever it is that may come up and down, and not as I would want, but doesn't matter, doesn't matter. It's okay, it's okay. And Baba wants us to be happy, A, for ourselves, so that then, yes, today, those deity qualifications can be visible. Your eyes, your lips, your face, your happiness is going to reveal the deity qualities. And if you're frowning, well, what happened to the happiness of the deity? Or if there's anything less than that beautiful smile that the dadis always have, then I've forgotten what my original sanskars are. And so yes, Baba reminding us for ourselves. But yesterday's Murli was very, very clear. Baba's mentioned it before, but this time it was very specific. Your face should reveal the virtues, the powers, the love that you've taken from God, and so there should be that happiness so that you can be an instrument. Just simply by giving a smile to others, to take away a little bit of the pain and sorrow that they're experiencing. They're not ready to hear lectures. They don't want to take the course. But they're going through a period of suffering, and the suffering's going to get more and more intense. And so your happiness is going to be a support for them. It's going to be able to enable them to experience a moment when they're free from their own pain and sorrow. It'll be uplifting for them. And so that is service. Think about how many people you meet through any one day. And so, do you need to give a lecture to do service? Just your smile. When Daddy's in London and she walks through the dining room, she doesn't whiz through the dining room. Even when she used to walk quickly, now she doesn't walk quickly at all. But she would pause at many of the tables. And so when we were telling Daddy what time she had to leave to go somewhere, we would always allow 15 minutes between leaving her room in Diamond House and getting to the car. Because then, having gone through the dining room and given a smile, just connected with people who happen to be there, then she wanted to go to Baba's room. And then she'll go to the car. So 15 minutes it would take. And we don't give ourselves that space, do we? We time everything absolutely to the nth minute, so that then we're rushing. But to have the space for others, to have the generosity, to be able to give time to others, to smile at them, to connect with them, the Brahmin family, and then of course people out there. Again, Dadi at the airport, and she'll smile at the children, she'll smile at their parents, she'll smile at whoever's around, and they're not smiling back at her, but she's smiling at them. And they then turn around to look and see, what was all that? And of course she carries lots of tollies, and it's not just tollies for Brahmins, but tollies all along the line wherever she goes. But the point that Baba's making, create such a state of happiness that you're able to share it. And a lovely thing that Baba said within that, if there's something that happens and you don't have your own happiness, your happiness disappears for some reason, what to do? Get more from Baba. And as you take more from Baba, then you'll also be able to share. I thought that was a very lovely little clause that Baba put in there. Baba wants us to be happy all the time, but yet if something happens and you're not happy, okay, never mind. There's more. There's plenty. Take from the ocean and you can then give it. And so just to be aware of what's going on inside of me and to keep my condition so beautiful, so sublime, that in itself is able to do service of others. And when Baba was talking about giving happiness and love to others, Baba explained another very little thing which was interesting for me. When you give God's love to another soul, what you're doing is giving them courage, giving them strength. And so love is to empower, love is to strengthen, Love is to help someone move forward. And so again, that was very, very beautiful. So the role that Baba's given us, just simply stay happy and share that happiness with the world. This is what the world is desperately wanting at this moment. And so those were some of the main points that Baba covered in the Murali. And as I say, short Muralis, but filled with a lot. But Baba spends a good amount of time talking to the people who've come to serve. Can you imagine serving 30,000 people? How many chapatis must have been rolled? How many people did it take to organize everything? I mean, the whole logistical story of Madhubana is just humongous. It's just huge, huge, huge. But Baba's really, truly appreciating what they've all done. And so Baba's talking to Tamil Nadu. And again, the blessing that Baba gave them, it's actually a blessing for all of us. And it was a very simple reminder. If you begin a task taking Baba's blessings, basically remembering Baba with love and being ready to take Baba's blessings, if before you begin a task, you take Baba's blessings, the task is going to be successful, because success is your birthright. And so not that you remember afterwards, but you remember first. And so very much again, the story of karma yoga. Yoga and karma. And actually Baba also reminding us of being a karma yogi. Yes, I'm happy when I sit in remembrance of Baba. But then, what happens when I get into action? I forget Baba? No. Baba gave us the very simple first day's lesson. Remember, you're a soul, the master of this body, working through this body. But then this beautiful little addition. You're not just a soul. Which soul are you? You're a soul that's deeply loved by God. Ladla, very beautiful expression, very much loved, very much cherished. And so you're God's cherished children. Or personally, I am Baba's very cherished child, Ladla Bacha. And so when I remember who I am in that awareness, then yes, that state of mastery and that state of joy, even as I engage in karma. And so the blessing for Tamil Nadu, for success. I want to take up one other thing that I found very fascinating. When Baba was speaking to the wings, and the days when Baba would speak to each wing separately, well, Baba's spoken to all of them many times now, but now it was wholesale, everyone up together, more than half the hall. And India has created this beautiful system for the last 25 years or so, because the medical wing actually celebrated its 25 years just recently in February, early February, with a program in Bombay. But other wings also, different timings, but it's been a long time now. It's allowed every center and every state, and then nationally, and then connection with Madhuban, to work on a specific area very intensely, because with the population of India and the number of centers, it was just regular service. There wasn't enough regular service to go around, in a sense, but also they weren't reaching out to the people who should be receiving Baba's Gyan. And so as soon as the service of wings has started, and now I think they've got 22 wings, but it's been an incredible expansion, a huge leap forward in service. And so benefit for each one. Baba said at one point to the Tamil people, Tamil Nadu, When you engage yourself in service, then you receive power, and that protects you from Maya. That was interesting. So opportunity to serve in many, many different capacities, each one from their own Laukik profession and background, serving others within that same area. But sometimes people say, you know, why should there be proof of service? Why should there be results of service? We're just doing Mansa Seva, which is fine, it's okay. But if I have a responsibility for service, then there's time, there's money, there's energy, all of that being invested. And so Baba's asking for the account. How many heirs have you created? How many regular students have you created? How many contact souls are in connection with you and have come closer? Baba wants to see the list. And Baba's asked us for this list several times. I'm glad I don't have a wing, and so I don't have to write down anything. There was a time a couple of years ago when Baba asked us for the list of air souls from abroad. And we made different types of lists because we got stuck on who is an heir. And different countries were sending different types, and then we didn't get final definitions, so we were let off the hook. But we had a go at it. But this thing about wings and what's been the outcome, I was interested to hear that, because sometimes people say to me, why are you bothered about the outcome? Doesn't matter. And yes, I know that when it's Mansa Seva, it's very important. And how can you estimate or quantify the outcome of that? You can't. But Mansa Seva doesn't require any money. Mansa Seva doesn't require any other resources. So that's fine. No outcome, no expense incurred. But where there is expense being incurred, and it's Baba's money, even my money is Baba's money if I'm surrendered, then definitely expense, then what's the result? The government in Britain wants to see that. Now, we don't just have to keep accounts of the, because it's public money, and I mean, things are pretty tight in Australia, US, England, the big countries, many of the other countries also, I'm sure. In some countries it's not so important, but certainly in these places it is. And so everything is accounted for. And then that's been fine for 40, however many years we've been registered. But last 4 years, they've also asked us for a quantification of the work that we are doing. What are the results of the money that has been spent? And so it takes a lot of time to document it all, to bring all the statistics together. But my point is that the Laukik government wants to see results, but Baba also wants to see results. If somebody is given a penny, how has that penny been used? If somebody is given 100 pennies, how have those 100 pennies been used? And so many of Baba's children here, if not all, are instruments for some task or another, sometimes a bigger responsibility, sometimes a specific responsibility, but whatever it is, I'm accountable to God for how I use that. And so Baba's inspiring us, encouraging us, but also checking the account. And so it was that was interesting for me. I'm sure when you look at your own notes, I don't know whether you make notes during the Murali. I think mostly people just simply enjoy the drishti and the vibrations, which is what I would agree with also. But also if when you get the Murali and you study it again, I'm sure there'll be lots of other things that strike you. But if you remember this one thing, that Baba asked us to make a commitment for. And I didn't look back to see whether everybody had raised their hands or not. A few people I know didn't, but I think the majority did. Am I honoring my promise to constantly stay happy and do service through my face and my activity? So let's have powerful yoga. And in this yoga, let's send out Baba's love and happiness to the souls who very much need it. Om Shanti.